You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Edition of the Gym Class. It's coming your way next right here on KGYM. Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the midweek edition of the Gym Class on this Wednesday, August the 5th. Great to have you aboard. Thank you very much for tuning in on whichever platform you choose. 1600 AM all over Eastern Iowa, 107.5 FM. That is the Gym OT in Cedar Rapids, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, and, of course, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. I'm Scott Unash from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Buttons, Sands, Tonks on the other side of the glass. He's not here, right? No, I didn't see him. No puppy here today. And Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids joining us here. As we take you through the 3 o'clock hour, your local programming block getting underway. We'll be followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. And, of course, if you missed anything on either program, you can pick us up via our podcast. You can do that at kgymradio.com or Spotify or via Apple as well. And thanks to Buttons for helping us out with that. And as always, a big thanks to our friend Tucker, our chief engineer and driver of the bus, Tucker Burns, helping us out here today. How you doing, Mark?
Doing well. Hope you and Buttons are doing well. And I'm sure Tonks is listening at home. No, you think?
Well, if he is, let's get him a diary.
If he needs a nap, he'll be listening.
He did that yesterday. Plenty to talk about through the 3 o'clock hour here today. The new Big Ten football schedules. The schedule 2.0 is out, came out this morning. And we will discuss, because there's quite a bit to discuss and digest as far as the Big Ten football schedule is concerned. More postponements, unfortunately, today due to the coronavirus and COVID-19. And we'll talk to Chris Liss of rotowire.com and answer your questions out there about fantasy baseball or fantasy sports. You want to talk a little fantasy golf, Chris and Mark and I will attempt to answer that as well. Text line 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600, the text line, if you'd like to reach us here today from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. I don't know if we awoke to it, but we definitely saw the new Big Ten schedule this morning.
Yeah, we did. And in addition to that, various protocols related to testing for COVID-19, football is going to have 2 tests per week. The College Athletes United organization and Big Ten United have some different ideas, and perhaps we'll touch on that later on. But the schedules are very, very interesting, Scott, in many ways.
Yeah, they are. Very interesting. And, of course, if you have not heard, Iowa first of all, the schedule has been elongated. There will be 2 bye weeks for each team during the season. And this was the 41st. I read a little bit more about this, Mark, and I'm sure you did as well, the background of how they came up with this. This was the 41st edition of the schedule that the computer spit out, and with based on the information that the Big Ten put in. And it is in there somehow that if a team has to shut down for a week, it can rearrange. I'm not sure how that is going to be done, but we're going to find out more about that, I would imagine, in the next few weeks or so. And that's another one of our subjects we're going to hit upon today. But it will run from September the 5th through the end of November, November the 21st. And then the Big Ten Championship game still scheduled for December the 5th. At Lucas Oil Stadium in downtown Indianapolis, Indiana. The Hawkeyes will open on September 5th, Saturday, September the 5th, as they will take on the Maryland Terrapins at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. The Hawkeyes then head out on the road for two consecutive weeks to Purdue and north to Minneapolis to take on the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Then the two ends will be at home September 26th, Iowa and Nebraska, followed by Iowa and Northwestern. And that will be on October the 3rd. Iowa travels to Champaign to take on the Fighting Illini and Lovie Smith on October the 10th. After a bye week, the schedule starts to stiffen up a little bit. October 24th, Iowa at Happy Valley to take on Penn State. Hawkeyes back home on Halloween to take on Michigan State and their brand new coaching staff. After another week off, Iowa ends the season at home against the Wisconsin Badgers and on the road in Columbus on November 21st. Iowa will be at The Ohio State University to close things out. And if you're wondering, no, Ohio State and Michigan, based on that, are not closing out the season. Ohio State and Michigan will play on October the 24th. First time since, what, the 40s, Mark? Ohio State and Michigan will not end the season playing one another.
Yeah, 1942, as I understand it, that year, Iowa preflight's football team played the last game of the season against Ohio State. And you say the computer picked the schedule. I thought Barry Alvarez did. I mean, my first blush, and looking into it even further, it's very inequitable because, and this is not being a homer by any means, Iowa's strength of schedule based on last year's records. Strength of schedule this year is fourth in the Big Ten. Wisconsin's is 14th. Ohio State's is next to last, 13th. Wisconsin and Minnesota do not play Ohio State or Michigan or Penn State. I'm not sure which, but definitely doesn't play Ohio State. Iowa does. And, you know, you play the schedule that's given you, but it's very uneven in my mind. I like the fact that there's two open dates, and Iowa's crossovers are Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan State, whereas Wisconsin's includes Indiana, Maryland, Michigan, and Rutgers. So you can draw your own conclusions. It's strange. First time Iowa's going to open with a Big Ten opponent since 1980. The Ohio State-Michigan situation, they're not going to finish the season against one another. So feel free to weigh in, 319-366-1600. What's a reasonable expectation now that we know the schedule, and let's assume that it's going to be played to its conclusion, a big assumption perhaps. What's a reasonable expectation for Iowa's record?
Yeah, a lot of questions out there. No matter what happens, somebody is going to have a very favorable schedule. Someone's going to be bit by the schedule bug. Certainly, Wisconsin had the very favorable schedule for 2.0 this year. There's no doubt about it. Wisconsin has to now be a prohibitive favorite as far as the Big Ten West is concerned. You were asking that question. Wisconsin does play Michigan. They do not play Ohio State. They do not play Penn State. They do not play Michigan State this year. The crossover games for Wisconsin are Maryland, as well as Michigan, Rutgers, and Indiana are the crossover games for the Badgers. You compare that to Iowa's that we talked about. Minnesota is going to play Michigan State and Michigan. They will also play Indiana, and they will also play Maryland in there. Nebraska, if you're wondering about some of the other favorites perhaps in the West, their crossover games, they get Ohio State, Rutgers, Penn State, and Michigan State. So Wisconsin certainly got the easiest, and I think everyone has plotted out the strength of schedule so far, and our friend Scott Dockerman from The Athletic has done that as well. Wisconsin, by far, the easiest schedule, based on last year, of course, as far as the new schedule 2.0 in the Big Ten is concerned.
Yeah, 81-66 on the text line pointing out, don't forget Maryland has Tua's brother.
Yes.
Now. So That may change things for the Terrapins. 64-29, having the bye weeks bunched around specific weeks conference-wide was a smart move, as it does allow a little flexibility if games need to be rescheduled. It will be very strange to not see Ohio State versus Michigan to end the regular season.
We talked about that, and very true. And the first prediction is in, and it's not a very happy one from 87-20. Four wins, 4-6 is what he or she is predicting as far as this Hawkeye schedule is concerned. It is daunting, to say the least. Certainly the easiest road trip, and Illinois was much better last year for Lovie Smithy and the Illini. But you have to go to Ohio State, you have to go to Penn State, you go to Minnesota, and you go to Purdue. You go to Purdue and Minnesota back-to-back. Now, of course, this is all based on the fact that Big Ten football and college football is going to be played. And that also needs to be talked about here today, because two factors came into play. Well, actually, three. You've got Commissioner Warren meeting with different athletes from Big Ten schools. You have, of course, the United Front out on the Pac-12. They are talking about not wanting to play unless specific needs and demands are met, if you will. NCAA came out today and said that Division I, Division II, and Division III basically are separate entities for this year. And we'll get to more of Division III coming up in a moment, but I think it's a couple more weeks, two-plus weeks that Division I has before they have to make some sort of a indication if they're going to play or not. I believe August 21st is that particular day. You have that. You have the declaration today, and we'll talk more about this. UConn is not going to play football this year. UConn is out in 2020. There's a little bit more to that story, though. We'll get to that here in a moment. One that impacts a lot of folks around the state of Iowa, though, we just learned about a couple hours ago, Mark, and that is the fact that the NCAA announced there will be no fall championships in Division III athletics for 2020. Games can be played. Conference games can be played. Conference champions can be crowned, but there will not be a Division III volleyball championship or a Division III football tournament this year.
Yeah, and it's not surprising, I don't think. The American Rivers Conference, of which Co is obviously a member, along with several Iowa schools and Nebraska Wesleyan, announced previously that it's going to go ahead with an abbreviated season. Of course, this will be the year Co goes undefeated. But we discussed off the air, and it somehow, just blew over my head that the fact that the Midwest Conference is not going to play in the fall means Co and Cornell won't get together, the longest football rivalry west of the Mississippi. I didn't absorb that at first, but that's going to be one thing, one more thing that goes by the wayside.
Now, if you're wondering, is this a money move? I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You bet it's a money move. The NCAA is looking at ways to cut corners. There's no doubt about it. If you're wondering about Division III, and we've talked with our friend Chuck Yergren from the American Rivers Conference many times, Mark, and he has informed us that this is not going to necessarily hurt the coffers of Division III schools. Now, if Division I does not play championships, then yes, that will very much cut into the coffers of Division III, because they get a percentage, of course, of the pie from Division I national tournaments. And as long as those continue to go, of course, they missed out on the basketball revenue and the spring sport revenue from last year. But as long as Division I football and the college football playoff and everything else is played, the D3 schools are going to get their piece of the pie. Now, if that is not the case, then you're looking at athletic departments in the American Rivers Conference and other conferences, the Midwest Conference, for example, that are going to be a little dry this year.
Yes, indeed. And you make an excellent point about what we learned from our discussion previously. I think it was back in the spring when things started to pop, and and Chuck outlining, Chuck Juergen, that is, of the American Rivers Conference, outlining that Division III very much benefits from Division I championships. And I think our discussion at that time was related to, you know, money not going to be realized from Division I playing the NCAA basketball tournament. So, but there are no television revenues to be counted on in Division III. And that's one of the big differences. Will the departments suffer without a season, with an abbreviated season? Probably so, but not to the extent of Division I programs.
319-366-1600 here. We come up on 20 past 3. Our friend Cajun Troy on the text line. Enjoy the month of September, because I don't think it will be a full season. Another prediction out there, and I really don't know. I said I was out of the prediction business a couple months ago, and I'm still out of the prediction business. I guess we learn to enjoy every day that we have sports out there, even without fans, and I guess that's what I'm doing right now. And if it comes down to it and we don't have college football, or we don't have college football with fans, which I think is going to be inevitable, we'll adjust and move on, I guess, for the fall.
Opinions are our own, I guess, Troy, right? And you may be spot on. You may be way off. The beautiful thing about, maybe the ugly thing about what we've been going through is nobody really knows from one day or week or month to the next what to expect. And I think in college football, one of my big concerns is not so much the athletes and the coaches within football. The concern is when the general student population returns and, you know, there's parties. There must have been one in Louisville because 29 positive tests were realized. It's that kind of irresponsibility that is driving up numbers. When college students return to campus, you know, there's going to be a group, hopefully a large group, that is going to be very disciplined about following guidelines and maintaining social distancing. And by the way, I'm not going to lecture the merits of, you know, what people should do and what they shouldn't do. I mean, do your own due diligence and do the right thing, whatever you think that may be. But that's one of my concerns as it relates to college football and maybe going forward. College basketball and wrestling is, you know, are these athletes going to be mingling with the general student population? If it's in-person classes, of course they are. So we're going to see watch very carefully how that aspect plays out.
319-366-1600 here at 322. It's very interesting, and hockey has done a very good job so far. Zero positive tests. They are in the bubble up in Canada in the two locations. They are sequestered in. The NBA has had a very good success, I believe, in Orlando, although a couple people have popped out. For the most part, baseball, except for a couple of instances, has been, for the most part, fairly successful. Golf has been successful so far. Auto racing has been successful so far. Maybe the situation is, and it was interesting because I had a chance to take a look at a couple of stories last night on the local sports that the first day of camp from Monday, as far as high school football is concerned, that they are taking it very much in the same direction, if you will, almost a bubble. If you will, as far as our players are concerned. If you want to play, and it seems like it is trickled down to the individual athletes, no matter what level you are at, that if you want to play, you have to adhere to the rules, because if you don't, it's going to get away from you and your season or career is going to get shut down very, very quickly.
Yeah, did you mention the NBA?
Yes.
Yeah, 0 of 343 tests most recently have been negative, or none positive, I'm sorry. And that includes Lou Williams, who we all know strayed a little bit, but was never positive. Left the bubble for a funeral, ended up at a strip joint to get wings, had to quarantine, but he was never tested. He never tested positive. So good results out of the NBA as well.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 here at 324. We're going to talk to Chris Liss of rotowire.com in about 15 minutes or so. Your questions for fantasy sports, fantasy baseball specifically, for Chris, and he will take those coming up a little bit later on in the show. What do you think about the Hawkeyes' schedule? We were talking about that. We got one prediction of 4-6 based on the new Big Ten schedules that are out. In case you're wondering more about the FCS, where you should know here in the next couple of days or so, the Missouri Valley Football Conference, I believe, is meeting tomorrow, their next set of talks as far as their fall is concerned. And that is the level I'm mainly concerned about. And that is a lot of the schools the same size as University of Northern Iowa, because they are not going to be able to deal with a cancellation of a football season. I fear what could happen in Cedar Falls and in the like places around the Missouri Valley, both for football and basketball, if you don't have a football season this year. And I am being selfish as far as that is concerned. It's just you got to face facts. And if there is no football season, UNI athletics and the rest are in trouble.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch at the FCS level. Many of those teams are already out big checks. In UNI's case, the trip to Iowa, the Big Ten canceling all non-conference games, FCS schools have already taken a hit. So I'm sure there will be reduced crowds if those seasons are played, and thus more loss of revenue. But, I think that's the FCS is really in some ways a lot more interesting than FBS in terms of the future and not only the football season, but sports departments in general going forward.
Couple of texts we're going to get to, but we need to get to a break first, and then we'll talk more about the Big Ten Schedule 2.0 released earlier today. Gym Class coming your way at 3:26. Back with more after this on KGYM.
Are you remodeling this summer? Look no further than Alexander Lumber and Answers by Alexander. Need new doors? They can help. Hardware? They've got it. Looking for new cabinets? They're happy to help you design the new space of your dreams with beautiful, well-born cabinetry. And of course, they have decorative shiplap and beautiful trim, too. If you're remodeling in 2020, consult with the designers at Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Let's go!
Let's go, let's go, let's go, hit that Bomba Squad, let's go, let's go.
Hey, Twins fans, what's up?
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
Twins baseball is what's up. The squad is back in full swing as we look to build on the division title from last season. Let's just say, we're hungry for more.
And it's gone! Target field explodes!
Tune in to follow the Twins all year long to make sure you don't miss any of the action during this exciting season. One team, one territory, the 2020 Minnesota Twins. That's what's up.
Now is the time to get in on the action with Elite Sportsbook. Receive a 50% match on your first online deposit up to $200 for all brand new accounts now through August 31st. Sign up at Rhythm City Casino Resort or Riverside Casino and Golf Resort to qualify for the new account deposit match. Visit EliteSportsbook.com for complete details and restrictions. Then start betting on your phone anywhere in Iowa. Get in on the action with Elite Sportsbook. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Rommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
The Army National Guard plays a vital role in your community. We're on the front lines supporting essential personnel, first responders, law enforcement, and medical professionals, delivering food, supplies, and medicine, keeping communities safe, making a difference. During emergencies, we're always ready, always there. Learn more about part-time service in the Army National Guard at nationalguard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
And yet another major brand just announced it's halting all social media advertising.
The two most overused and abused words in advertising are truth and trust. They are the two most precious commodities for all brands, big and small. As an advertiser, you have to trust your partners to protect your brand's truth using the media consumers trust. Radio, it's on.
KGYM would be honored to earn your trust. Connect with us. sales@kzia.com.
We are back. Gym class for Wednesday here in KGYM. A reminder here at 3:29 tomorrow. We will have Tom Keating, the executive director of the Iowa High School Athletic Association, joining us as we get into camp week, get into the back half of camp week, and looking forward to talking a wide variety of topics with Tom coming up tomorrow. So looking forward to that right here on KGYM. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. 1600. That is our text line. If you would like to weigh in, several people have during the break. 1345 is seconding the 4-6 prediction. Mark, new quarterback and some of the usual teams will trip up Iowa, but Nebraska will finally beat Iowa this year. Just a feeling. But 9267 says Iowa, Big Ten champs. there you go. Cajun Troy weighing in again. Mark, that's my exact thought. College kids will not stop having fun. That's the thing we have to look for. And 9896 asking, maybe I'm late to the party, but has there been any talk about the football bowl games? Not officially, although one has been canceled. I believe Redbox in San Francisco, I believe. We're out in the Bay Area. I think that's actually played at the Niners Park in San Jose now. But that has gone by the wayside. Nothing official as far as the bowls are concerned, but I'm not holding my breath that all of them are going to be played, especially some of the lesser bowls, if you will.
Well, I think that's probably the least of anyone's concerns right now. Probably stepping back to see if the season plays out. We know the Rose Bowl parade has been called off for January 1st of 2021. And that's a whole different animal than the game itself, but that has happened. Again, I think it's the focus right now is on the regular season.
Yes, and by the way, Rose Parade in January, and I heard today that I don't know the official term, but the Radio City Rockettes Christmas thing, whatever that is also been called off for this year in December. So if you're planning on New York City toward the New Year's, no, probably best not to do that out there.
9663 on the text line. I really don't understand this Big Ten schedule. Why would you send Iowa out to the East Coast and have a better chance of getting the virus than staying in state for a game against UNI and Iowa State, like other colleges playing non-conference in their own state? And the whole reason for the Big Ten to go to a conference-only schedule, the main reason, is so the 14 teams can be on the same page in terms of managing the COVID-19 protocols. And when you intermingle different conferences, maybe different protocols and whatnot, it could get out of whack. It might get out of whack anyway.
Yeah.
But that's the main reason.
It is. It's a shame, especially as far as the UNI is concerned. We talked about that before the break. UNI is going to miss that money that goes into their athletic department fund. Iowa State's going to be okay in the short term, maybe not in the long run. We'll see. But the Big 12, it has been granted a 10th game, and they will play a non-conference game. It will not be UNI this year for Iowa State because the Panthers were scheduled to play the Hawkeyes. And like Mark said, that the Big 10 came out with that edict that there will not be non-conference games this year, even against in-state opponents. So you answered the question very well, I think, Mark. does anything make sense in 2020? No.
No. 5268 on our text line. 319-366-1600. That's Dave. I think Iowa will go undefeated just because I don't think they will play.
And Cajun Troy reminding us that if we do not have college football, LSU, still the champs. Go G-E-A-U-X, Tigers.
Okay. All right.
We'll discuss when we hopefully get together for our two viewing parties with yes. Cajun Troy.
Saints Bears and Chiefs Saints. Huh?
Yes, we're looking forward to that. Hopefully those games are going to be played down the line right there. The other piece of news in college football that came out today, this morning, about the same time that the Big Ten Schedule 2.0 was released, Connecticut football will not play this year. And, of course, that caused quite a stir out there because of the fact, well, a lot of people said, well, Connecticut is doing it right. Connecticut gets it. They are ahead of the game as far as this is concerned. Maybe, and they may look good at the end of this if there is no college football. But before all the plaudits go and all the kudos to the UConn football program, let's remember a couple of things. First of all, UConn is out of their conference now, the AAC. They are an independent this year. Which means that they have no conference. They have to schedule their own games. And by virtue of what the Big Ten did and other conferences are doing, there's no room for non-conference games this year. So UConn's schedule was gutted. They have no schedule right now. And probably the best UConn could do would be to play maybe one or two other Division I FBS schools in a non-conference situation. And then they would probably have to find some... really would have to fill it out with 1AA or FCS teams that they could find. There's no way they could come up with probably more than four or five games on their schedule.
No, UConn was scheduled to play the likes of Ole Miss and I think an ACC team or two among, you know, I think already had scheduled teams from the FBS. I'm not quite sure about that, but those were among the teams that were on the UConn schedule. And as you outlined accurately, you know, when various conferences decided to eliminate non-conference games, Connecticut left hanging the left out in the lurch. Now Notre Dame, an independent, was rescued and joined the ACC for this year and came out pretty much smelling like a rose. But to say that UConn, or for UConn to say that it's shutting the program down due to COVID-19 related concerns, that's a half truth at best. I mean, they had voluntary workouts during the month of July and had no positive tests. I think it's a half truth at best.
It is. It all works out good and looks good. It's a good look. And let's remember as well, UConn. The football program right now is an absolute mess with another coach, Randy Etzel, coming back to try to rescue that program. Once pretty good program, as a matter of fact, but there are several underlying reasons why UConn is not playing football this year. They can't find some teams. I mean, they'd have to play Division II teams if that was going to work this year. And there was no way they could even come up close to a complete schedule. And that's the problem you have in 2020 as far as being an independent is concerned. And you mentioned Notre Dame. That's why so many people, when the Big Ten made their announcement, Mark, said, okay, what's Notre Dame going to do? And when the ACC made their announcement, what's Notre Dame going to do about games? And then, of course, they've had the agreement with the ACC over the last few years, and they just... they put that into motion, and Notre Dame's magically a part of the ACC this year in 2020, if everything is played.
Yeah, and Troy asking on the text line, does Notre Dame play all games on the road?
No.
I don't believe that's the case. I think it's a mixture.
Correct.
Some ACC teams will go to South Bend.
Yes, they play. In fact, they play Clemson, I believe, at South Bend.
Yeah.
This year, and what will be a very... key game as far as if there is a college football playoff this year in 2020. 3:39 here on the program. We talked about Division III championships going by the wayside, UConn a little bit. Still time to get your first thoughts about the new Iowa football schedule in case you're joining us a little bit late today. The Big Ten came out with their schedule 2.0 as far as the fall of 2020 and football is concerned. Iowa will open with the Maryland Terrapins, and we will welcome Johnny Holliday for his first visit ever to the state of Iowa. That's an old joke. Todd is smiling somewhere right now, hopefully listening to that. Johnny Holliday, of course, the play-by-play voice of the Terrapins, who has been to Iowa many times, but said that he's never been to Iowa. Anyway, it'll be Iowa and Maryland on September the 5th, and the Hawkeyes will have two bye weeks as of right now, October 17th and November the 7th. Every team in the Big Ten will have a couple of bye weeks. They're pretty much situated within, well, the second bye week, within 2 weeks of one another. The first is basically all the teams take byes within 3 weeks of one another. So schedules could be rearranged if needed as far as working against COVID-19 or with COVID-19, however you want to deem it here. But Iowa with a very difficult schedule, especially that finish, Mark, with games at Penn State, Michigan State. Now, who knows what Michigan State's going to bring to the table this year with a new coaching staff. Then an off week, and then a home game against Wisconsin, and then to close out in Columbus to take on the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Well, with your permission, I think I'm going to reserve my official prediction for the season until September 4th, because by that time we'll know there's going to be at least the start of the season.
True.
And right now, first glance, I'm saying a minimum is 5-5. The road games are troublesome. Purdue is going to be pretty good, dynamic receivers, for one. Minnesota, we know what the Gophers did last year, and probably very hungry to get Floyd or Rosedale back. I think Illinois is manageable, although the Illini were in a bowl game last year. But then you have road games at Penn State and at Ohio State to try to manage as well. So Iowa is going to have, if Spencer Petras delivers and has a solid year, Iowa's going to have a dynamic offense, and therefore you would have to believe that, you know, it's going to be in most, if not all, of the games.
My first blush, just by just first look, first glance, 6-4. I'm going to go.
Well, you add in two non-conference wins that you normally would have, and it's another 8-4 season for Iowa, right?
Correct.
Blah, blah, blah.
319-366-1600 and 0520. Since fans can't travel, why play all the bowl games? Use that to expand the playoff teams to more than four.
I like it.
I like it. Who knows what's going to happen, 0520 in 2020? Who knows what's going to happen as far as that is concerned? Let's see. 1960, the schedule is favorable to the Hawks. We get a bye week before we play Penn State. I could see Iowa going 8-2. It is quite weird to see Ohio State as Iowa's last game, says 0905. I wonder how many times in history that has happened.
Well, at least once. We mentioned earlier in the show that 1942 was the last year in which Ohio State and Michigan did not finish the season. And the closer that year was against Ohio State, played Iowa pre-flight, which you need to do your digging into history on that team, because obviously that was related to the war. And it was, I'm not going to state inaccurately what that team was comprised of, but it was another team that Iowa had that was actually very good and competed at the collegiate level.
Yeah, very much so. All right, we need to take a break. Come back. Chris Liss of RotoWire.com to answer your fantasy sports questions, fantasy baseball questions specifically, when we come back.
Dutch Boy's new Platinum Plus paint with Stain Shield technology has the performance you expect from a luxury paint at a price you didn't. Platinum Plus is up to 50% more washable and stain resistant than a leading premium paint in satin sheen. Superiority ranges from 24 to 50% depending on sheen selected. Platinum Plus keeps your walls looking new longer. Menards and Dutch Boy paint have you covered. Go ahead, live your life.
Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Savings are mail-in rebate. See store for details.
Goodyear knows why we all love basketball. It's the sound of the buzzer, the roar of the crowd, the swish of the net. It's the spin on the ball as it's released, the squeaking sneakers before an inbound pass, the timeout that gives us perspective on the moment. We love basketball because we love movement. And now that it's back, we're asking you, the fans, what moves you? Goodyear. More driven.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Ask for it at the Mopar Service Center at your local Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram dealership.
There are people who say things aren't made here anymore. Those people should make a trip to Michigan, or Kentucky, or Illinois, where you'll find our workers, and dealers, and engineers, and technicians building at the Ford Motor Company. The same way we have for over a century. In the same place, for the same reason. Built for America.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is waiting for a table at a restaurant.
Thompson, party of four. Thompson, party of four. Thompson, part. Oh, there you are.
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
We're back at 3:46 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. 319-366-1600. That is our text line. If you have a question, fantasy sports question for Chris Liss of rotowire.com, who is set to join us here. 319-366-1600-1527 he likes Rory McIlroy. He likes Rory McIlroy this week as far as the PGA Championship is concerned. He asks, would it be interesting to see what Scott and Mark like this week for golf? What do you think, Mark? Throw out a guy that you like for the PGA.
Well, you got to start with Koepka. He owns the PGA in recent years, right?
Big Game Brooks.
I'm going to be interested to see how DeChambeau does. He's had a terrific year. I haven't made a pick yet. My dark horse might be Phil. I mean, he's coming off a second-place finish at the WGC and appears to be in pretty good form. I wouldn't touch Tiger with a 10-foot pole.
Not with an iffy back, iffy weather, and has played once since February. I'm with you on that one, so we'll see. He'll probably win the thing. 319-366-1600 here at 347. We welcome in our friend Chris Liss of rotowire.com. And as always, the great source for all things fantasy sports, rotowire.com. We encourage you to visit the website. We'll learn more about that coming up in just a little bit. And, Chris, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Scott?
Cannot complain. We have a new new college football schedule. We'll see if it actually takes place. We'll see if the NFL actually takes place here.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL, I don't know if we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but the NFL is the hardest to pull off because you got 53 guys, and you got all the guys, you know, all the coaches and the position coaches and the equipment people carrying all that stuff. You can't put it in a bubble. It's too big. And it's not like baseball where, you know, baseball players don't get near each other for most of the game. So NFL is just, I hope they can do it. I hope they can pull it off. But it's definitely the highest degree of difficulty of all the sports, I think.
I would agree.
Chris, how chaotic has fantasy baseball been with teams not playing, the Cardinal and Marlins situation and whatnot. Has it been pretty chaotic for players?
It's been ridiculous. I picked up John Means to start against the Marlins. Marlins get COVID. They move the Yankees, and then the Phillies got canceled. The Yankees are supposed to play the Phillies, so they move the Yankees to start against the Orioles. And so John Means is going against the Yankees and gets destroyed. And I thought he was going against the Marlins when I locked him into my lineup for the week. So there's stuff like that all the time. Obviously, games getting canceled. The Marlins have played four games. Some teams have played, 11 or 12. So it's really weird and skewed. And then these pitchers are getting hurt because they didn't have the full ramp up of spring training. It was half the length of time. And now you're going to have like double headers, seven-inning double headers on off days. It's a disaster. I mean, if I win money, I'm going to cash the check. Don't get me wrong. But if I do poorly, I'm going to just make an excuse that it was too weird.
I will say this, though. The one guy that I thought would do very well, and I put that out there as far as some leagues are concerned, Nick Castellanos. I thought he would be amazing in Cincinnati. He has been amazing so far in Cincinnati. The Reds haven't been particularly good, but he has been.
Yeah, he's got six home runs. I actually faded him because everybody was saying, they're like, oh, he's perfect for that park. He got really he got hurt by the other parks he's playing in. Cincinnati's perfect. And, I'm just watching him hit home runs every night. So that was a good pick.
I want to ask a football question, Chris. If I have, and I've read a lot of your pieces on your various drafts in the NFL, present the argument. I've got the overall number one pick, Christian McCaffrey versus Saquon Barkley.
I mean, I love Barkley. I'm a Giants fan. He's such a good player. They drafted three offensive linemen this year. Daniel Jones is in year two. They should run it a lot more. They'll throw to Barkley. I mean, he could be an absolute monster. He's one of the most talented backs in the history of the league. But you got to understand, McCaffrey got 142 targets last year. He's getting targeted like a wide receiver one. And so Barkley, maybe Barkley catches 90 balls. Maybe he'll catch 80. That's huge, and he'll get 1,500 yards, 15 touchdowns. But if you're in a PPR, full PPR, the 142 targets that McCaffrey gets, he set the record again. He broke his own record for running back receptions. Is such a floor. It's so untouchable. And he's good. I mean, McCaffrey's just really good. I mean, he's a great receiver. He's, a really good runner. I'm surprised he's so durable. He's about 5'11", 205. And that is a very low BMI for a run, for an every-down running back. But he's in good shape. He's strong. And he was a little dinged up at the end of last year. Like, he really didn't see the injury report in 2018. Last year, he started to not really be – he didn't miss any time, but he was a little bit banged up during the week. But I love Barkley, but I just think McCaffrey is the target volume is so ridiculous.
Yeah, I would agree. And helped me last year. I hope to get him again coming up this year. If you have a question for Chris, let us know. 319-366-1600. That is a text line, 319-366-1600. Time for Mark and I to puff the chest a little bit. Luis Robert has been as good as advertised so far. And if you have not watched this kid for the Chicago White Sox, I'm partial, I know, but this kid is pretty amazing.
Yeah, he's just a great athlete. And the thing is, a lot of times these guys, they don't come up with the team, especially in regular season. They don't want to have the minor league clock start tolling, and they lose years of control. But they signed him to a multi-year deal right away. And that changed everything, because then you knew he was breaking camp with the club. They weren't going to play games with his service time. And a lot of these toolsy guys and the power, speed, athleticism guys take a little time. He seems ready. Like, it's not just athleticism. He's a baseball player, and it's pretty cool. Huge favorite to win Rookie of the Year.
I'm going to go back to football for a question, and that is, what do you expect out of Tom Brady in Tampa Bay this year?
It's tough to know. I think he's going to get a lot of attempts, and he's got really good weapons, way better players on the team. He's got Gronk also now than he had in New England. The question is, he washed up at age 43. I mean, he really struggled at the end of last year, but he had terrible receivers who were hurt. And that's a tough question. It's better weather, better conditions, better receivers. I think he'll be okay. I think he'll throw 28, 29 touchdowns, 4,000 yards. I don't think he'll be great, but I think he'll be serviceable. I've got him as like quarterback, I want to say 16 or so.
I set Nelson Cruz up for you on a platter, Mark, and you didn't mention anything about Nelson Cruz.
I know. He's doing things, not hitting it out of the park. He's, you know, singling in runs these days. He's a player of the week the first week, I think, and he's still continuing on that trajectory, Chris.
Yeah, Nelson Cruz he's David Ortiz. I mean, he's just, you know, guy's 40 years old, and he's not getting worse. And he's only got a DH, but keeping these guys healthy. And it's amazing these guys can be this good at this age. So, it's like every year you're like, okay, well, he's going to drop off. But there's not even a hint of a drop off. In fact, last year he was hurt for a bit, but on a per-bat basis, he had the best year of his career.
Football question coming in on the text line from 1034. Are you buying Miles Sanders getting a workhorse load this year with no Jordan Howard? Or will Boston Scott take too many touches for Sanders to repeat his late 2019 production?
That is a good question. I think Sanders will get enough. I think he'll get about 240 carries and 55, 60 catches, which is a lot. I don't think he's going to get 270 carries like the Barkley's and McCaffrey's, but I think he'll get enough carries given his heavy receiving volume to be a top 10-ish back. But it is possible, because the Eagles are so committee, they love the committees, that they do give Scott and even Corey Clement some work. So there's crazy upside with Sanders, but there's also a tiny bit of role risk.
There you go. 319-366-1600. A couple more minutes here if you have a question for Chris. Baseball. Everyone had the Chicago Cubs starting rotation doing this in the first 2 weeks of the season, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like Tyler Chatwood and Kyle Hendricks.
Alec Mills.
Well, yeah, it's very strange. And I have Darvish, and he had a bad first start, but he pitched better the second time out. The Cubs are weird. I don't think the Cubs are that good, but they're doing enough. And Chris Bryant really hasn't gotten going. He's been a little banged up. So it is a short season. Maybe they, you know, I mean, the Hendricks is a good pitcher. He's been a good pitcher for a while. And Darvish is an ace when he's on. After that, who knows? But, you know, it's a short season. They could easily win the division. They're off to a great start.
Yeah, the offense has been
terrible. You can't play the Pirates and Royals every game. And I say that because...
Right. Well, that's true.
Well, the Twins are feasting on the Pirates right now. So, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's true that the Central Division teams, they get the Pirates, they get the Tigers, they get the Royals. I mean, it is a soft schedule. The Brewers are pretty weak, too. The Brewers' pitching is bad. You know, Yelich hasn't hit in. Kane opted out. It's not the Brewers that you think of the last couple of years, either.
No. Plenty as far as football is concerned that people are getting ready for. We would have had the start of the preseason coming up this weekend, but that is pushed off a little bit. Before we let you go here, Chris, let us know all of the great stuff that you guys have at everyone's disposal at rotowire.com, not only for football, but for their sports as well.
Yeah, we've got every sport, football. Obviously, we've projected every single player. Every time something changes in camp, we have the news on it. We have the analysis. We have the change of projection. Updated cheat sheets you can customize to your league specifications. Print them out. It's totally free. rotowire.com/trial. Is a free 10-day trial. You don't need a credit card. We cannot charge you because you're not giving us a credit card. Check everything out, rotowire.com/trial for 10 days. And if you don't like it, you just don't have to subscribe in earnest. And if you do, you can subscribe in earnest.
And you're going to like it. Trust us on that. So, all right, Chris, talk again in a couple of weeks, and take care, all right?
Thanks, guys. You too.
All right. Chris Liss of rotowire.com joining us here on the Wednesday edition of the show. Tomorrow, Tom Keating, the executive director of the Iowa High School Athletic Association, is going to join us and talk about the fall coming up, which is already underway as far as camps are concerned. So we've got that. Twins baseball coming up tonight, I believe it's 6 o'clock. Is that correct? Up at Pittsburgh, right?
That is correct, Scott.
All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Mark.
Talk to you then.
All right. Stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That is coming your way next on KGYM. Some breaking news before we go. Now Division II fall championships have been postponed.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs.
After falling to the Los Angeles Lakers in the 1982 NBA Finals, the 76ers needed to find the right player to build the ultimate winning team. In September of 82, they acquired restricted free agent Moses Malone. They